Welcome to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm Yvette Hampton, producer and host of the upcoming documentary Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution. On this podcast, we bring you the very best from today's homeschool leaders to help you start strong and finish well. This podcast is for you. If you have a guest or topic suggestion, email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. On this week's show, we're talking to Dr. Carol Swain. Dr. Swain is an award-winning political scientist, a former professor of political science, and professor of law at Vanderbilt University. She's a public speaker and political commentator and author of several books, including Abduction, How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds, and Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise. Hey, everyone. I am so very excited with our guests that we have on today. Carol Swain is a lady that I met. Carol, you and I actually were introduced through Sam Sorbo, right?
Yes. We both know Sam.
Yeah, she is wonderful. Both you and Sam are cast members in our movie Schoolhouse Rocked. And so we met Sam first, I think back in January or so. And when we met her, she said, "You have got to meet my friend Carol Swain." And I said, "Okay, well, tell me a little bit about Carol Swain. I'm not familiar with her." And so she told us about you, and she made that connection for us. And it was so much fun. You and I connected by email first, and then we had a long chat on the phone. I want to say we talked for probably over an hour. And then after our phone call, my family and I actually went out to Nashville, Tennessee, to do some filming. It was actually kind of the last leg of filming that we did for Schoolhouse Rocked. And you live in the Nashville area. And so we were able to meet you and interview you for the movie. And it has been such a pleasure. We've stayed connected since then. And it's been so great getting to know you and your story and just the amazing things that God has done with your life.
Yeah, God has done quite a bit, and He continues to do new things every day.
Yeah. Tell our listeners just a little bit about your story, because you have one of the most amazing stories, testimonies that I've ever heard from, you know, where you come from, what your childhood was like, all the way to where you are today. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I was born and raised in rural Virginia, meaning out in the country, southwestern Virginia, and I was one of 12 children. And we lived part of our lives in a two-room shack. Now, not all the children were there at the same time. Probably there were about six or seven of us that lived in the shack before we moved from there. But it had no indoor plumbing. And during the early part of my life, the children slept on the kitchen floor. And my mother and stepfather slept in the living room.
Wow.
And we were poorer than other poor people around us.
You went on, you did school up to eighth grade, right? You had an eighth grade education.
All of my siblings, all of us, dropped out of school after the eighth grade. And I married at 16. And I did not marry at 16 because I was pregnant. But I felt that I needed to get away from home. But I married at 16, had my first child at 17. But even as a teen mother and wife, I was able to have a standard of living that was better than my sibling. My husband had a job and a car, and we were able to pay $300 down and purchase a new house and watch it being built from the ground up.
Wow.
Because the government had a program called FHA 235.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was over 1,000 square feet. It was a very nice house, brick, that I watched being built from the ground up. And this was as a person that started this when I was 16 and 17, age 17, I'm living in a brand new house. And my life has been one where God has always sent people in my life that have steered me. Eventually, in my early 20s, I got a high school equivalency, went to a community college, and got the first of five college and university degrees, and eventually became a professor. No one in my family had ever been a professor. And at that time, I was not a devout believer. And I spent 20 or 25 years just drifting. I did not want to have anything to do with organized religion, but I was always spiritual. I always knew that there was something larger than me God in my life.
Wow. And so then you went on to university. You became a professor. And you were a professor at Vanderbilt and Princeton universities, correct?
And I was a very successful professor in that my first book, which is titled Black Faces, Black Interests, The Representation of African Americans in Congress, was published by Harvard University Press. Mm. And it was a top university press book. It ended up winning 3 national prizes. It's been cited by the Supreme Court. It was picked in 1994 as one of the most outstanding books in America. And I have, as of August, when my edited book on immigration, which will be the second edition of Debating Immigration, is published, I will have 9 books that I have either edited or authored.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. So, and you're no longer a university professor. Now you're still writing books. I know that. And then most recently you ran for mayor of Nashville. And
you know, something I did not see it coming. If someone told me that I would run for mayor of Nashville, I would say no way. It was incredible. And so as I see it today, I learned a lot about the city. I learned a lot about politics. I really enjoyed the campaigning, and I may well run again for a full term. 4 years would be enough to really turn Nashville around.
Sure.
And make it a model for the rest of the country.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. It'll be really neat to see what God does with you over the next couple of years with that. And when as a university professor, you taught political science, correct?
Yes, I've studied government, and so I really understand how government is supposed to work at all levels. And our system in America is just broken in so many ways. If the schools are broken, and we know that they are, our government is just as bad. Yeah. And I believe that we can have effective government in our cities and in our states, but it's going to take educating the people, and it will take a grassroots movement. And that's what we had.
One of the books that you've written, you had mentioned that you've written 9 books, but one of the books that I have a couple of your books, but the one that I have that I think is the most influential to me is called Abduction, How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds. I want to talk just a little bit about this book, and in there you have a chapter called Public Schools Ground Zero. It's chapter 3 in the book. And I know you and I have talked about this. You talked about it a little bit in your interview for Schoolhouse Rocked. What have you seen as a result of the public school systems and them taking God out of public schools and what that has done for our society?
I think it's a lot bigger than they're just taking God out of the public schools. What we see is that there are teachers that have gone into education with a clear agenda to indoctrinate young people with their beliefs. And when it comes to issues like the LGBTIAQZYMPO, I run out of letters. I'm not sure the letters keep changing. That movement, we see that in a lot of public schools and some private, that they start pushing that agenda as early as kindergarten.
Oh, sure.
And it wouldn't surprise me if there weren't some places doing it at pre-K. And I think that the values and principles, what we have found, that the values and principles that many people of faith, and we're talking about Christians, but there are also people of faith in other religions that are more conservative when it comes to values and principles, those types of views are something that the liberal left see as quite harmful. And so their whole educational system is designed to unlearn the values and principles that the young people may get at home. Now, there may be parts of the country, parts of Tennessee, and maybe parts of other small towns throughout the country where you have teachers that are solidly Christian, they have values,
sure.
The community is more conservative, so you may get less of it. But when you have a few textbook providers, like, you know, Pearson has an agenda when it comes to religion. When you have a few places providing the curriculum and school boards that are liberal and liberal activists running and winning offices on school boards,
then you're going to end up with your children being indoctrinated. And I think parents need to be very careful when they see that their children are not bringing home homework. If they are bringing home homework, if it has anything to do with the humanities, the social sciences, or even in any field, the parents need to pay attention to what their children are being exposed to. They may not be able to change the direction of the school, but they can at least try to counter what their own child is learning and being exposed to.
Yeah, absolutely. You and I have actually spoken about that, and that's so important. Not everybody, of course, can homeschool their kid or send their child to a private school. Private schools are very expensive in many areas, and not everyone has the opportunity to homeschool. So there are kids who are in the public school system. But we have talked about it's so important that if those kids are in there and they're being indoctrinated with the philosophies and ways of what the public school wants them to learn, these parents need to be as involved as possible. They need to know what their kids are being taught, and they need to know how to combat that and bring their kids, you know, when their kids come home at night, say, okay, what did you learn? And be really, really intentional about undoing any of the lies that their children are being taught, because it still is the parents' responsibility to train the hearts of their children. It's not the school's responsibility, just like it's not the church's responsibility to raise up our children in a godly way. It's the responsibility of the parents. And it's the same, of course, with their education as well.
You know, I agree with you, but the political left and the teachers that have a clear agenda, they use shaming techniques. And mm-hmm. So you will find that a lot of young children, that they come from conservative homes, that they are silenced by how they're treated by the teachers at times. And they themselves may want to rebel from what their parents are teaching if they see their parents as being too conservative. And we all know young people that believe they know everything.
Sure.
You know, their parents know nothing. They know everything. And so that, too, is a danger when your child is in an environment where they're going to be rewarded for when they say and do things that are rebelling mm-hmm. against what they were taught at home.
Yeah. Oh, I agree completely. And actually, you know, when you send your child off to school, you're saying to your child, whatever your teacher teaches you is truth. And, you know, if your teacher teaches you that 2 + 2 = 4, obviously that's true. And if they teach you that evolution is true, then obviously the child's going to think that that is truth as well. And so, you know, as soon as you let go of those reins and you let the public school system teach your child whatever it is that their agenda holds, you're actually saying to your child, believe them, you know, believe what they say. And so, you know, kids will at some point come to that realization that someone's lying to me. It's either my parents or it's my teacher. But my parents have told me to trust my teacher and everything that they're teaching me. So, of course, how can my teacher be wrong? And I think that can be very confusing for children. And, you know, most kids are not mature enough in their knowledge and understanding of truth to be able to decipher what is true and what is false. And I think that's a very scary and can be a very dangerous place for kids to be.
I agree. I definitely agree.
I know you're very pro-homeschool. You believe that homeschooling is a good thing for society, for our culture, for families. Why do you think that?
Well, I'm pro-school choice, and I think every parent should have the right to decide what's mm-hmm. more appropriate for their own child. And as a conservative Christian, I believe that homeschooling is going to be the only way, or one of the ways, because there are classical Christian academies now.
Sure.
There are places that teach the Constitution, that teach Judeo-Christian values and mm-hmm. principles, but you have to search for those places. You have to have resources.
Sure.
And so for the parents that are able to do it, I just believe that they need the choice to decide. And as a mayoral candidate for Nashville, I see it that I supported school choice, and I listed homeschooling as one of the choices. And I worry about the attack on homeschooling parents, the public schools see them as a threat because the numbers are growing.
Mm-hmm. Astronomically. And very, very quickly, you know, parents are taking their kids out of school for many reasons. And it used to be that it was typically parents taking their kids out of school and bringing them home to homeschool them because of, you know, religious reasons. You know, they had some kind of conviction over what they wanted their kids to learn. But it's not so much that way anymore. I mean, now, obviously, that still is a big part of why parents choose to homeschool, but also because parents are simply scared to send their kids to school. You know, they never know, you know, if I send my kid to school today, is there going to be a mass school shooting at their school? Because it seems now no school, no town, no city is safe. And, you know, I also know that could happen anywhere. You know, you could go to the bank or to the mall or, you know, you could go anywhere and something like that could happen. But it seems to become, it's become more and more prevalent in schools and in public schools and not just school shootings, but just safety in general. And so parents are taking their kids out for many, many reasons. And, you know, the title of the movie is Schoolhouse Rocked, the Homeschool Revolution. And it's very, we titled it that way because it is a revolution. I mean, parents are taking their kids out in droves, and it has been a huge, huge change in our society over the past probably decade. I would say more parents have taken their kids out of school and brought them home to homeschool them for various reasons.
Well, I can tell you that the empire will strike back because those kids represent dollars.
Yes.
For the National Education Association and for the teachers. So they will fight back. And one of the problems in Nashville is that the school budgets, the biggest item that the city pays for in our education system is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are coming out without any kind of skills, and we're not getting a good return on our investment at all.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. It's not just spiritually, but academically, morally, you know, in so many different ways. And so, yeah, it's absolutely
true. Academically, the children are coming out that are public school only as people that are not qualified really to go into colleges. For the most part, there are some magnet schools where people do really well and maybe some charter schools. But for the most part, the public school system is not doing its job of educating people. And, you know, irregardless of what they're telling them in the classroom, they're not coming out with the basic skills needed to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question on that, though, because I agree that, you know, we've seen that in many kids coming out of public schools. Obviously, not all of them. I mean, some kids are coming out of public schools, you know, with a pretty good, decent education. But what have you seen, especially because you have been involved in on the university side of school? What have you seen with universities and colleges bringing kids in? Because it seems that kids are making it in as long as they can pay their way or get some kind of a scholarship or grant to go to college or university. Are the colleges and universities simplifying their education so that anybody can enter in as long as they pay that fee? Or are these kids going into...
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, here's the good news. The good news is that the studies show that the homeschooling children, many times they're superior to other students,
mm-hmm.
and they tend to do well on the standardized test as well as in the classroom. So they're not having trouble getting into top institutions. Now, this is very troubling for people that would like to say that homeschooling parents don't know what they're doing.
Right.
They're going to ruin their kids' lives. That's very troubling. Because that's the data. Now, what I have heard as a rebuttal is that the parents who homeschool tend to be better educated. That if everyone started homeschooling and you have people, you know, that didn't finish high school homeschooling, obviously their children are not going to benefit from having parents that actually, that are knowledgeable, unless now. My big unless is that if the children are in homeschool co-ops where the parents trade off skills,
mm-hmm.
or they have organized themselves in such a way where the people that have the highest qualifications are teaching the various subjects, then it doesn't matter what the education is of the homeschooling parent. But homeschooling parents and children tend to come from higher income mm-hmm. and higher educational backgrounds. And they have to be very confident, because you have to have a lot of confidence to decide, hey, I'm going to take my kid out of public school. I'm not going to send them to a private school. I'm going to do it myself.
Sure, sure. Confidence, yes, and also a whole lot of faith. I can tell you that from firsthand experience, just trusting that, you know, God is going to give us everything that we need in order, you know, we homeschool our girls, of course. And, you know, it is a daily trust that we have that God will fill in any gaps that we leave, and that he's going to equip us with all that we need in order to educate them the way that they need to be educated. And I don't mean just teaching them math and science and history. I mean, educating them with a biblical worldview in everything that they are taught. I want to ask you really quickly, because you mentioned that homeschool students are often well-equipped for college and university. As a university professor, did you see that to be true in your classroom? Because, of course, that's one of the reservations that parents have is, oh, my child's not going to be well enough equipped. They're not going to be ready for college or university. What was your experience with that?
The data shows, and my own experiences mm-hmm. Can document, that the homeschooled young people that I encountered were well-equipped, and in some cases, they excelled above others that had gone to private schools and had gotten the best education. I can also say that that's true sometimes of public school students. I've had public school students to also excel above kids that went to the best private schools. And so there are a lot of things about the quality and values
sure.
that come from the parents that still make a difference. And I know that your daughters, you know, they have all these skills, you mm-hmm. know, like business skills. They have knowledge, and that would give them an advantage, you know, when they go to college, because they have experienced real life, not just the travel,
sure.
but also earning their own money, knowing how to do things, and knowing how to sell when they needed to.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think it's one of the greatest benefits of homeschooling is that, you know, because they're not in a classroom all day long, they get the academic part of it, but they also, like you said, they get the life skills part of education that they oftentimes don't get otherwise. And it's so fantastic. I mean, our 12-year-old, she's our little, you know, entrepreneur, always trying to find a way to raise money for who knows what. and she's a saver too, but you know, she mows lawns, she babysits, she, you know, she'll make things and sell them. I mean, it's just amazing.
Is she the one that has the art skills? Is she an artist?
Yes. She is a great artist. She is very, very creative and artistic. And, but she also then has the side of her where she is very good at homemaking. I mean, she can cook, she can clean, she can do laundry. You know, she does all of those things very well. And it's been such a blessing to have her home. And her little sister kind of just tags along with her and helps her do these things and gets to watch, because they're 5 years apart. And so she gets to watch her big sister doing these things. And of course, if big sister does it, then she wants to do it too. You know, she gets bummed out because she can't mow the lawn yet, but she's only 7, so we won't let her do that quite yet. But you know, it is such a great balance of life and education and family. And like you said, travel, our family travels a lot. And so our girls get a very well-rounded education, and it's very different. It looks very different than it would if they were in a traditional school. But we are definitely grateful for the opportunity that we've had to homeschool them. We absolutely love it. And we said we would never, ever homeschool. So we're glad that the Lord has called us to this.
Well, you know, some of the things that I would like to see you and other homeschoolers do is to, and you may already be doing this, but really to think of ways that you can reach out and encourage people who would love to homeschool, but they just can't do it. So they're stuck in the public schools.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you might be able to do.
Sure.
But there has to be a way that the curriculum mm-hmm. and some of the things that you all do could also bring in other people that, you know, maybe for the most part, they're stuck in the public schools, but maybe they can join with homeschoolers that in co-ops or something, so that children get the benefit of exposure.
Sure.
To a different way of doing things.
Yeah, I love that. And some people are very intentional about that. You know, we've actually spoken with a few different single moms who homeschooled, and they've just had to figure out ways. And one of those ways has been that their church has come alongside of them, or their family has come alongside of them. In some instances, it's grandma or even grandpa. We've actually heard of grandpas who have homeschooled their grandkids because, you know, mom has to work. I mean, we have that I can think of off the top of my head in the last probably 6 months, two friends who are homeschool moms, and their husbands have died completely unexpectedly. And their husbands were the breadwinners, and now they're single homeschool moms. And what do they do? And so I agree. I think that's very, very important for the homeschool community to come alongside of those parents, you know, whether they're a single parent or not. You know, maybe they're just struggling financially and they can't afford to homeschool for whatever reason. But yes, I think absolutely coming alongside of those families and saying, how can I help you? You know, can we bring your child over for, you know, a few hours each week, and we can help, you know, tutor them in whatever subject it is that, that they need help with. But yeah, you know, we're reading through the book of Acts right now with our girls. And it's so exciting to read through how when the church began, that's what they came alongside of one another. They sold their possessions and they were just there to be with one another and to help one another figure out how to do life. And no one's needs went unmet. They were a community of believers who loved each other and who came alongside each other. And they were one big family. And yes, I agree completely. It should be that way. And hopefully Schoolhouse Rocked will encourage people to do that. And I love that you said that, because it is definitely a powerful way to impact our culture and our society for homeschooling. So anyway,
how can people help you right now with the Schoolhouse Rocked? Because I know that you are trying to get this movie out next year.
Yeah, thank you for asking that. We are getting ready to run a Kickstarter campaign soon, sometime within the next couple of months. We haven't set our date yet because we're working on some other things that are leading up to that. So we've got our Kickstarter coming up. And, you know, we actually have a great team of people who just have volunteered their time, who have said, what can we do to help? We've got people who are helping us with social media, a couple of other people who help just make phone calls for us or write letters for us, or, you know, just do a variety of different things. And it's a whole lot of work for one family to do, but it's not just us. You know, we've got people helping us, but we are always in need of help. So if people have an expertise in maybe social media or fundraising or, you know, something like that, writing, we have some guest bloggers who are writing guest blogs for us. And that has been a huge blessing, because our whole purpose is to encourage and equip families to homeschool. And so when we have people helping to write those blogs for us, it's a great encouragement for the people who are on the Schoolhouse Rocked website. But yes, you know, financially and just helping us with things that just need to be done to get this movie out in theaters next year, is a great way to come alongside and encourage us. And of course, lots and lots of prayer. We have a prayer team of people who are behind us, and they are amazing. We know most of them. Most of them are family and close friends, but we've also had people who we don't really know, but have emailed us or connected with us in some way and just said, how can we be praying for you? And it has been such a blessing. And oftentimes we'll get little notes, you know, through Facebook, or we've gotten letters in the mail, things like that, where people are just saying, you know, hey, just want you to know we're praying for you. And that is more encouraging than anyone can imagine. Carol, how can people find you? How can they be encouraged by what you've done?
All over social media.
Okay.
I have really two websites, carolmswain.net.
Okay.
As well as BeThePeopleTV.com. And instead of We the People, it's BeThePeopleTV.com. That's my blog page, and I post a lot of information there. And on Facebook, my handle is Prof, as in Professor Carol M. Swain. And I'm on Twitter as Carol M. Swain, and Instagram as Prof. Carol M. Swain.
You are working on another book right now. Tell us very quickly what that book is.
Well, my memoir, I'm in the process of starting work on a book about my life that I hope will have a publisher soon and will come out in the next year or two. Meanwhile, I have a book coming out in August titled Debating Immigration, the second edition. And that book has some chapters that would be of interest, you know, to regular people, not just academic.
Sure.
It has one that deals with a biblical worldview that isn't just open borders. Some people will argue that if you're a Christian, you have to be for open borders. And I don't believe that's a biblical perspective. We are told to be kind to strangers and to welcome them. But we also are told in Romans 13:1 to obey the civil authorities. We know with ancient Israel, the foreigners were expected to live by the rules of the Israelites. And this is not ancient Israel, but we do have laws.
Yeah.
And we need to reform our immigration laws. But I have, you know, chapters in this edited book of my own. And one is my own version of what comprehensive immigration reform would and should look like.
You also have a new podcast that's out. Tell us a little bit about that.
I do have a new podcast. It's called Common Sense Conversations with Dr. Carol Swain. And I am interviewing a range of people. Some of them are politicians, important thought leaders, newspaper editors. I've interviewed you. I have interviewed Dinesh D'Souza. I have an interview scheduled with John Rich of Big and Rich. People who understand or know the country music scene will know John Rich of Big and Rich. We have that scheduled.
Great.
And I'm having a lot of fun interviewing a range of people.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'll put a link to that as well so people can find you on your new podcast. That is exciting. So thank you again so much. It's so great chatting with you. And we look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you. And great luck with the podcast and with the movie.
Thank you so much. I hope you were encouraged by this conversation with Dr. Swain. Please get to know her at carolmswain.com and check out the show notes to see how you can win a copy of her book, Abduction. For great homeschooling videos, articles, giveaways, and more, check out members.schoolhouserocked.com and use the coupon code PODCAST10 to save 10% on any paid Backstage Pass membership. Backstage Pass members get exclusive access to full interviews from the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked and so much more. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave a review. Until next time, I'm Yvette Hampton, wishing you the joys of community and the wisdom to teach and learn. God bless.